SBS Radio.
They make it sound so simple. Do you want a republic, yes or no? In the previous episode, we heard from political scientist Dr. Klaas Wongdring about our choices. But let's not forget our constitution. Do we have to amend it? Because even politicians seem to have a problem with some of its content. Section 44 is the stuff of politician nightmare. And are we the only Commonwealth country without a Bill of Rights? Very few people are familiar with the Constitution. Most who study it don't understand why we still have it, and Section 44 is tripping up more and more politicians. So the next question to Dr. Klaas Wongdring, political scientist, is do we need to change the Constitution?
Section 44 specifies that one has to be an Australian citizen only to be able to be a representative in the Parliament, and surely that makes sense. An MP cannot have allegiances to a foreign power. There are actually five clauses in that section, one which specifies that one cannot be a public servant when a candidate in an election, and there are also some other restrictions. However, the issue is hot because the Turnbull government could fall if there were more coalition MPs who failed the test. The case of Senator Canavan, who was not aware of what his Italian mother organized, could result in some minor reform, you know, if it goes to the High Court. This would then require a referendum. And it is almost impossible to get referendums accepted in Australia. This is largely due to the restrictive Section 128, requiring amendments to have a national majority and also a majority in a majority of states. This is because the states in the federal structure have equal standing constitutionally, in spite of large differences in population numbers. Secondly, and this is not strictly a constitutional limitation, the two-party system in practice is a massive hindrance to achieve majorities in referendums. The four referendums that failed in 1988 make that perfectly clear. If either major party disagrees, it is basically impossible to get a referendum passed. However, the entire constitution is an archaic colonial document now that should no longer be subjected to piecemeal tinkering. It should be rewritten entirely, and not by the self-interested parties, but by others.
Well, what are some of the other problems in your view?
Well, there are several other problems. There are many, I would say the overwhelming majority of constitutional lawyers who want major change. The constitution describes a status of dependency on Britain, a situation that for all practical purposes ended after World War II in 1945. The formal position of the Governor General is that of Her Majesty's powerful principal servant, essentially a colonial relationship. The position of Prime Minister is not even mentioned. However, decisions on committing the country to a war are left to this Prime Minister, not mentioned. There is no requirement for parliamentary approval or even discussion or any participation by the people in the form of a plebiscite or referendum when it comes to committing the country to a war. Secondly, it made provision for a federation, a structure of state which made good sense in 1900, but is now a costly hindrance to effective government for a mere 24 million people. Local government is not even mentioned in this constitution. It has no formal relationship to the national government. It hardly mentions, the constitution hardly mentions, the existence of political parties, the reality of the political system. As a result of the single-member district electoral system, which exists separate from the constitution, an inefficient two-party system has developed. There is also no Bill of Rights in the constitution, the only Commonwealth country that has no such statutory protection of the rights of Australian citizens. It makes no provision for the reconciliation with and the representation of the Indigenous people. Recent moves to address this situation have come to nothing so far. It makes no provision for the protection of the environment, a most important new value which needs to be expressed surely and safeguarded in the Constitution. It makes no provision for the election of a diversity of representatives of the two houses of Parliament, nationally and in the states. It hardly reflects a multicultural society. It makes no provision for the appointment of cabinet ministers from outside the legislature, as is the case in most European countries and in the United States. As a result, governments are frequently lacking in quality and expertise. It does not state that the government derives its authority from the people's sovereignty, the very essence of democracy, and that of a republic as well. It does not elaborate on the nature of popular and national sovereignty, and does not provide a guidance as to how, for instance, economic sovereignty is to be safeguarded and promoted in a globalized world. It is embedded in several constitutional conventions, also called usages, which are open to a variety of interpretations. Conventions should all be codified for them to be widely accepted. When Prime Minister Whitlam was sacked, for instance, in 1975, arguments about these conventions clouded the entire issue. Parliamentary democracy, often praised in Australia as a positive constitutional feature, is in fact not protected in the Constitution. The position of women and the issues of equality between the sexes and of gender in Australian society is not addressed anywhere in the Constitution. Very few people are familiar with the Constitution. Most who study it find it seriously flawed, archaic document, and don't understand why we still have it. Most people have no sense of ownership of it. Many leaders in the corporate sector of Australia are rightly disenchanted with this constitution. The corporation's power in Section 51 is in practice used mainly in respect of foreign corporations, with a few exceptions. The states regulate corporate affairs with sometimes major differences between them, a costly and frustrating situation for business. The Constitution provides no express guarantee of a universal franchise. So,
yeah, Klaas, you present a very worrying list of missing provisions and things which are today in our world which really need to be there. So rewriting the Constitution sounds like a major task, even if many would agree that this would be desirable. How could this be achieved in your opinion?
Well, it is difficult, and governments now shy away from amendments because most of the amendments are knocked back, you see. So in that sense, it has become very difficult. So that is why people say, you know, if we are to do it, it has to be written completely. And I think this is where the Governor General could play a significant role. Although in practice this person performs largely symbolic tasks by convention, constitutionally the Governor General could adopt the role of impasse breaker, even in conjunction with the Queen of Australia, Elizabeth. General Cosgrove could appoint a progressive committee of experts, not politicians, to draft a new constitution for Australia, even a Republican constitution. And this could be presented to the voters in terms of a Section 128 amendment of the existing constitution. I have not heard this from anybody else, to tell you the truth.
I was just going to say, how likely is it that he will do something like this?
Yes. Well, the Constitution gives him tremendous power, and it is not used because the convention is that he is a symbolic figure. That is true. But I think it is an idea that could be floated.
That was Dr. Klaas Waldring on the urgent need to amend our Constitution to reflect our reality, which is much more complicated than our founding fathers could have imagined. In episode 3 of the Republic Question Yes or No, we look at our federal system, also a leftover of the 1901 Constitution.
We need to be looking at systems that suit Australia as it is today, not necessarily what is done in other political cultures like the UK or the US. And of course there are remedies, in particular the proportional representation party list systems. The essence of these systems is that parties are represented on the basis of the percentage of votes they gain in an election.
Want to hear more stories like this? Subscribe to our regular podcasts on iTunes.